Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Deadline day for the NFL, a franchise, to sign guys to multi-year deals or just take the franchise tag. We'll see who else comes up with it. Myles Garrett and Chris Jones both got paid, and so we'll see if anybody else does. And Dak, I think that's done. He's going to just he'll have the $31 million. That's it. But there's a lot of guys on the list this year. I think a lot of guys that you just don't know, man. But giving them the average of the top three players in the league just seems like, especially a guard. At $14 million, wow! Brandon Scherz and Joe Thuney's, man, that's big numbers.
Yep,
big numbers. So we'll see. We'll see if anybody else, if there's anybody else today. James Harden is reported at camp, so that is good. We'll see. He's got to now. He's going to have to quarantine and have to sit, and we'll see. James back out there hopefully soon. Russ is convalescing from having the coronavirus.
No, yeah, Russ is good. Yeah, we're good with Russ.
He confirmed that.
I thought you were saying James. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Russ. Russ is.
He was spotted at a party in Las Vegas before contracting coronavirus. That seems like a good place you could get it.
Why is Las Vegas a place you can get it?
A party is a good place to get it. Any gathering of people seems like a pretty good place now.
Yeah. I mean. Well, a party, you don't know. They could have been social distancing at the party.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that happens all the time.
When I saw the party at Clay and the Ozarks, looked like a lot of social distancing at those pool parties.
Well, you didn't see all the... Oh, did you see all the
masks,
parties that
no,
were
I didn't see any.
Social distancing? No, you didn't. All you saw was the bad ones. It's like if you... So you just assume all of them are bad.
How old is Russ?
Russ is 27, 28, whatever.
Is that considered usually the age group where they're like, eh?
Yeah, no. Very. So, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's fine. I'll be fine.
That is kind of.
I'm going to do me.
Yeah. No, that absolutely is what that age group does. That anyone in their 20s, you're just not that bright at 20. It's just, I'm sorry, it's just not. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5. You can hang with us. Josh James is going to be starting against Kansas City, so that's good news.
Yeah.
Josh James is back. You were just looking at three prospects.
Yeah, so they've got three prospects. So Jake Kaplan wrote an article. First of all, he said Urquidy is out on this one. He's not going to put Urquidy in here because, you know, it just feels like Urquidy is beyond being prospect considering the time that he put in, the important time he put in last year. So here's a list from Jake Kaplan. The three pitchers who are most likely prospects, most likely to contribute in 2020. The first one is not a surprise, Brian Abreu, which I thought there were times he had some really good stuff. You could see the potential with Abreu. He just wasn't experienced enough or ready for the moment last year that he was put into. But you can see he's got some stuff now.
Well, he was Josh James'd from a couple of years ago where Josh James came on at the end of the season and all of a sudden he had to be on the postseason roster. Yeah, and Brian Abreu was...
Josh had some moments, though, in 18. More than 19. We expected more in 19. We got more in 18.
Yeah, no. What Josh also had... you know, he also got lit up some, too. I mean, against, you know, he made...
Once he got to the... That's true. So it says, presuming health and availability, Abreu is a lock to be on the Astros opening day roster, likely in a bullpen. He also represents starting depth, but his lack of experience and control questions probably make him better suited for a relief role.
Well, he's going to... Joe Smith hasn't even reported yet and probably won't. He's going to probably
They say middle out. Reliever, too.
Yeah. I mean, what are your options? Devo right now? What are your options?
He has two power breaking balls, a 12-6 curveball, and a wipeout slider highlight his arsenal. He's the rare pitcher to have better command on his breaking pitches than his fastball. Same thing with Lance McCullers, which averaged 95 in relief last year. An impressive September run earned him a spot in the ALCS bullpen last year, but he would have begun in AAA to continue his development as a starter this season had it not been for the pandemic. And he said, I think he can conceivably become a top-of-the-rotation starting pitcher for a contending team, Strom said in March. The Stromer. I'm a big fan of spin and being able to throw breaking balls for strikes, and Brian Abreu has shown that ability.
Hmm.
Christian Javier is the next pitcher. He's quietly one of the best pitchers in minor league baseball last year, and he's also an important part of their rotation depth. Like Abreu, Javier was assigned to train with the major leagues at Minute Maid Park as opposed to the team's alternate summer camp site, University of Houston's baseball facilities. A fastball that his minor league teammates have referred to as an invisible is Javier's calling card. Though he sits in the low 90s with his velocity, he's dominated with the pitch because of a combination of spin and deception out of his three-quarters arm slot. A sweeping slider is his primary secondary pitch. He also has a changeup and a curveball. And then finally, Inoli Paredes. Paredes is a candidate to debut as a reliever. The undersized righty has an electric arm that can generate velocity readings in the upper 90s. His fastball generally sits 94 to 96, and his best secondary pitch is a power slider. He also has a curveball and a changeup, but in a relief role, he could focus primarily on his two best pitches. Only 5'11", 170, but highly confident in his stuff, Paredes has drawn comparisons to late Royal starter Yordano Ventura, one of his role models on the mound. They grew up in the same part of the Dominican, albeit 4 years apart. After Paredes turned pro, Ventura took him under his wing and trained him during off seasons. He's 24, but didn't start focusing on full-time pitching until he was 18. The Astros have developed Paredes as a starter, but command issues and durability questions make him more likely to end up in the bullpen long term. He was in big league camp for the first time during spring training. For summer camp workouts, he's primarily trained at University of Houston. So those are who Jake Kaplan has as the three pitchers. And, you know, as you mentioned, Will Harris is gone, so you got to fill in for him. You can't really trust Devo, unfortunately. Not long-term, I don't think. And then you have Joe Smith potentially opting out, who was a big part of it at the end of the last year. Joe Smith went from being like a guy to me to being, oh, man, I feel good when Joe Smith comes in a game. And so it is going to be important, and I think Abreu is going to be that guy. I think Abreu has to step into that role very quickly. And maybe even middle relief, yeah, is probably – you do have Osuna. You do have Presley as your two top hand.
Back end.
But Will Harris and Joe Smith had
– Well, you had got Cy Snead. You got a potential Fromber. Depending on if Fromber's got to start.
You knew who Will Harris was, and you knew who by then Joe Smith was.
But yeah.
So you got to figure out those two spots. And I think Abreu is more likely to end up the setup to the setup. I think he's the most likely to go from being a middle reliever. Well, I guess if you're starting Josh James, yeah. I would say Brian Abreu with his stuff and ability to throw breaking pitches for strikes, which is what Strom really likes. I think that puts him in a position to eventually be the guy before Presley. And because of the construct of this season and the way the players have been off, I think more than ever it's going to be important that you have, you know, your bullpen has to really be solid. Because I think starters are going to go less innings than they have in the past. And if that's the case, you better have somebody you really like. Well,
somebody's got to step up.
As early as 5
Cy Snead, Fromber, Austin Pruitt. Joe Biagini.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
Well, you know what? He wasn't that great.
It was a good interview.
Yeah, it was a great interview. Devo's still there. He's going to be if it's Paredes. Maybe it might be Paredes. It could be. We'll see. You never know who's going to step up, who he's going to like this preseason. Well, he doesn't have much time left, so here we go. So we'll see. We'll see. Your bullpen is going to be man. You better get innings out of Verlander and Greinke. That's all I'm saying. You better get innings. Dusty better trust them. They better come out. They better come out hot. But it's funny. 10 or 11? I saw 11. 10 umpires have opted out and said they're not going to be umping this year. And then they say that the umpires probably are going to be traveling with teams on the team charter so that they don't have to fly commercial in between cities. So they'll jump on with a team. How good an idea is that? If the umpire loses you a game with a call, or you're pissed about his strike zone, or you had an argument, if you're a pitcher and you're pissed at the ump, the home plate ump, and then he gets on the plane with you afterwards? I mean, that's going to be an uncomfortable situation.
Somebody's mouthing off.
Somebody? Oh, you know.
Well, Colors will say something.
Oh, I would imagine Verlander will say something.
Oh, Verlander.
But for sure.
Hey, Blue,
you don't suck.
Don't eat. Foods for workers. Foods for people who put in work. You didn't do any work today. Oh, that's uncool.
He's going to Michael Jordan him?
Yeah.
You think he's going to Horace Grant him?
No. Well, yeah, it was Ho Grant. He'll just come. It's better than getting Scotty Burrell. No, it's not.
No.
Neither one of them are good. Yeah, he could come take food away from an umpire.
From an umpire? Absolutely. You don't deserve this today, the way you call the game.
Absolutely.
How crap you are. That is going to be really, really interesting. And Joe West is one of them that didn't opt out, right? Joe West is saying, I can't catch the corona. Joe West better watch himself. Now, all these people that are saying that were making fun of the coronavirus before, they're dying now. Ah, the kid, the 37-year-old, went to a party.
He wasn't even 37. I think he was 30 years old. Went to a COVID party and got the COVID and said, I thought it was a hoax.
Not anymore.
Final words.
Final words. I was just joking. I was just joking about it.
Lee, why even play that game?
No, don't play with the corona. Don't play with the Roni. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, you're more than welcome. Right now, though, let's talk about Champion Energy, being a champion. And if you're looking for a great way to lower your bills every single month, I just paid mine today, as a matter of fact. And it was ridiculous. It's ridiculously low. I don't care where you live or what your circumstances are. You know, you're going to have the kids. You got the kids home all summer. They're going to be home, looks like, all fall. Door opening and closing. Got to have the air on all day because people are home all day. It is going to be a killer for you. Well, don't make it a killer. Make it where you can manage your bills. I'm signed up through 2021. Through next year, because I jumped on the rate and I'm with Champion all the way. And here's the deal is when your contract is up, does your electricity company tell you, hey, I got a better rate out there for you? Mine did. Said, let's go. Here's a better rate. How's this? I signed up for 2 more years. You will too. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
That's 16. ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I didn't know this. The only quarterbacks to play under the franchise tag in the last, Drew Brees played for $8 million, and then Kirk Cousins paid for $20 and $24. Now Dak is going to play for $31 and $39. Man, you look at it. It is unbelievable how it has just been jacked up. It is unbelievable how it is. Wide receiver, is up to 17. Defensive end, 17. Corner, 16. Now, kicker and punter is at 5, thanks to Bill O'Brien. Way to go. Giving a guy $4 million a year to kick that doesn't even kick that well. Wow. Wow. That is just amazing that Kyemi Fairbairn is making that kind of money. It's unbelievable. Just give him 4.
Get out that man's pocket, John.
Give him 4. Just give him 4. What?
Living the American dream, being above average and getting paid a lot of money to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. Who is this? Must be Stephen A. and Max. That Dak doesn't look great because he didn't come to terms. I mean, what? Why do we care? It's not a good look for Dak Prescott. Why?
Didn't even cross my mind that he looks bad in this.
No,
this is a negotiation.
It's his man's money. Hey,
who said that?
Say Stephen A. and Max Kellerman, whatever.
It's not it's not a good look for what? For who?
For Dak.
Well, for what? But I don't understand the concept.
I don't either.
What's not a good look that he won't accept? Was that said yesterday, or is this old?
No, it's just like this just came out. Because
previously, it was said it's not a good look whenever these numbers were coming out that Dak turned down $40 million or he wants $45 million. And then they said, that's not true. That's not what's out there at all. And the Cowboys said it wasn't. I want to make sure that wasn't an old soundbite.
No, it's right now.
I swear to God, I am so tired of salaries being the talk every single time now. And it has trended in this direction for a long, long time. But in both directions, people... You know, the complaint for the general public would be if the escalation of salaries is so far above, you'll always make the case, well, this is what the market will bear. Well, the market will bear it if your TV deals keep going up and if your suite holders and rights holders continue to pay substantially more for tickets and things like that. But the argument is at some point the question is coronavirus going to be something that in the lasting effects, and if this isn't just wiped out in December or January or February, if a vaccine doesn't wipe everything out, although Moderna had great results, they said it induced for all the trial, the phase one trials, I guess the results are back.
And what the story yesterday, 45 people all had, I guess,
it induced positive results in every person.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was really good results. But let's just say something happens where the general public is still spooked and they can't. I'm just not going to go to the game. Or I'm just whatever. Something that hurts revenue, or maybe advertisers don't come back, or maybe this creates, you know, we have a depression because this lasts so long, it turns into a depression, and advertisers stay out, and the revenue comes down, and the players still want the same pie they had, the same piece of a pie that is a much smaller pie. Well, the general public at some point they're already get the screws put to them, depending on how much money you make, where you no longer are able to go experience it, except maybe one or two times a year, because it is expensive. I work 2 jobs and make pretty good money, and it's just like, golly, man, I cannot go to, if I want to get my kids anything to eat or drink, like, you know, I'm telling my kids, y'all just aren't eating, you know, you're not eating at the game. Or I'll say, you better put some Skittles in your pocket. I better put something because we go to hot dog nights at the Astrodome. It's a $1 hot dog because if I have 4 kids and I get them a drink and something, even if it's just ice cream or whatever, man, it is expensive.
It's expensive, yeah.
It piles on. And I'm just not doing that on a frequent basis. And the reason it has to be so expensive are because the salaries are so high.
Yep.
And that is a real thing. I mean, there's no way around it. And it's okay for fans to be a little upset about that. However, at the same time, I also recognize that once Dak Prescott is going for his contract deal or players are having negotiations, it really is between the player / agent and that team. And it's not going to affect you necessarily anymore tomorrow or you know in a year than it will be affecting you today. I think for the most part. I do think realistically, I was talking to my mom about this. You know, my dad, when he was at U of H, I guess made around $40,000 a year as an assistant coach, as an offense coordinator, actually. Maybe a little bit more than that. At U of H is 1 year there as an OC. He was there more years than that. The coaches didn't make, they didn't make a bunch of money in the 80s, 90s. They really, the salaries, 2000s, weren't super, super high by any stretch. It wasn't until sometime in the 2000s the college football coaches started to see a big jump up. And I think over the last 20 years, we have rates now for coaches that are just way too excessive. And I mean head coaches, coordinators, it's crazy. You can pay them really good money. You can pay them really good money. Like my dad with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I know what he made. It's nowhere near what a college offensive coordinator could be made. He was on a Super Bowl team, and it's nowhere near what an offensive coordinator on a, at a power five, at a good high level power five conference is making right now. And in some cases, it's less than what offensive line coaches are making in college now. And that was, you know, that was, my dad was there, I guess, with Pittsburgh a little more than a decade ago. So, you look at how much people, sports, how much coaches, we talk about players, but I want to bring in the coaches too, like especially at the collegiate level. This is the reason why there are no war chests in college football anymore or in college athletic programs. Everybody is so expensive. The money is, you gotta make sure that as much of the pie comes in, all of it goes out, all of it's dispersed. And so when something like this happens, and God forbid, you know, we don't have this happen every day, but when it does, programs, we can't take a year off. We can't take a year off because we universities can't take a year off because they will fold. They have so much money that is outlined to coaches, athletic directors, all these programs that they no longer have, like they don't have the money for it. They don't have the money to have a bad year. It doesn't exist, and they will close down this year. Many programs are going to close down. Many, many, many programs. It's just the tip of the iceberg with Stanford shutting down 11, you will see a massive amount of programs shut off programs and scholarships that they had previously. Some will come back and some won't come back. But I think it's because of how much money is now out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, Nick Saban, you know, $10 million. Well, that's the money they bring in. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. They have to bring in and they have to charge a certain amount of money because that's what, you know, that's what it costs to run programs now. And when you squeeze, the golden goose is being squeezed so hard at such an unbelievable rate in every sport now that it is to a point where it's hand up. It really is paycheck to paycheck for just about every, you know, sports entity now. It's paycheck to paycheck. There's no wiggle room anymore because you're squeezing the golden goose as tightly as you can for every drop out. And nobody cares about, I honestly don't think any generation of players, and maybe even coaches. Everyone's in it for themselves.
That's it.
They don't care what's going to happen in 10 years.
No. This is not altruistic. This is, I'm getting mines. That's all. I'm only here. I'm here so long. I want to get as much as I possibly can. That's all.
Yeah. That's
I'm not
what
doing it
is.
For the greater good. I'm not. Michigan put this out. There will be no football season tickets if there is a 2020 season in the fall. Status as a season ticket holder remains unchanged. Season ticket location will be retained for 2021. If UM is able to have fans at Michigan Stadium, all home games will be sold on an individual game basis with sales limited to current season ticket holders and staff and students. There will be no ticket sales to the general public. For season ticket holders, they're elected to blah, blah, blah. Details regarding a potential individual game sale will be communicated once a decision on playing with or without fans is finalized. In the event that Michigan is able to have fans at any sporting event this season, all forms of ticketing will move to a mobile platform. And they're going to lower capacity. It won't be 100,000 fans. Depending on how many people they are able to, right, to get into the stadium. That's probably going to be commonplace. The 2020 season ticket holder is probably not going to apply. Everything's going to be pushed back to 2021. Now, a lot of people have paid for their season tickets already. I wonder if you've paid for your season tickets already, if they're going to hold you to that, or they're going to do this where it just goes towards 2021. going to do this method.
And you know better than maybe anyone, maybe other people too. How many season ticket holders are there for a college team? Like, there's 100K in that building. How many of them are season ticket holders, do you think?
80 to 90, 80, 85.
That was what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So how are they going to make that? Let's say the best we can hope for is all conference games. Michigan can have fans in a limited capacity. How do they make 90,000 season ticket holders happy? Because you can't sell 90,000.
It could be a lottery.
Every other.
And it could be a, you know, you lottery. Go, you go
hey,
to this.
The highest donor won again in the lottery. Who knew?
Well, that'll happen. Yeah. There's no question that's going to happen. The biggest donors will be at every game.
So here's the thing, though. This is how this works. I know my wife has talked about this at Texas. I'm pretty sure at A&M. You have to pay, like, if you're in the whatever the foundation is.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, it's almost like a PSL.
It is a PSL. Chunk your every
money
year.
In there. Yeah.
Every year it
Chunk
is.
Chunk your money in there to the foundation.
Right.
And you have the right to get season tickets at face value.
Well, the TAF for LSU.
What's TAF?
Tiger Athletic Foundation. It is.
That's just to be able to
just
buy
to be
ticket,
able to buy
right?
the tickets. It's like you're paying double or in some instances more than double. What the tickets are, just to have the right to you double in your tickets, just to be able to buy them every year. But that's why it's so healthy. The Tiger Athletic Foundation is one of the best, and they do it differently than a lot of universities do. They don't do anything through the school. They do it all through the Tiger Athletic Foundation, and then the Tiger and they work out all salaries, everything else. That's how they work it, and it actually works out. They're doing a good job. I asked one athletic director, why didn't everybody do it? Well, you had to have set it up, because now if you're set up a different way, but they did it right, and they make a lot of money. 929 ESPN 97.5, Summit 3780-3776. You want to get in?
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. I think this is a real headline, and I think it's accurate. Sports Illustrated put out a story. Nobody can agree on just how good Dak Prescott is. I think you want to talk about a quarterback that has so many differing opinions about him. There are so many people that are saying, "Cowboys, what are you doing? Look at him; he wins games. You got to pay him. What are you doing?" And then there's others. He's only going to take you so far.
There's another one that is similar, only this one is more supposition to me. Like Dak actually stays on the field and plays. Carson Wentz gets some of the same stuff I've noticed. Where Carson, there are people who are betting on the highs for Carson Wentz and projecting. But see, Dak, you've actually seen. Like, to me, I think he led them
for most of the Super Bowl season.
Yeah, that year.
Yes.
But he's had injury issues.
Yes.
And last year he didn't have a lot of help.
But Dak, it's not about injuries. With Wentz, it is about injuries. I see that.
I think Wentz is a more talented quarterback than Dak. But Dak stays on the field. Dak has been solid. Solid.
Yeah.
But you are right. There are people. And sometimes I see people. This is what's strange to me is this gets to the whole commenting on people's money. They'll tell you, Dak is good. He's not great, but he needs to get paid. You need to pay him his money. Well, are you involved in negotiations? Are you like, no? Okay. Well, that's like me saying, well, he needs to take 34. It doesn't matter. My opinion and your opinion doesn't matter. It's for those teams to figure out. It's for those sides to figure out. Dak needs to get paid. Well, he's going to get paid. But the number will be determined by those two parties. And at some point, you have to fight back against bad quarterback deals like Kirk Cousins. You have to say, we're not working off this. I'm sorry, we're not working off this. The same way court systems, you see people saying, okay, I understand this is precedent. We're fighting precedent. We're not gonna utilize your precedent. We are going to try to change precedent and alter it. Now, in the case of, and everyone's going to have to alter the precedent set by the Texans now because of one contract and then presumably another one. I did have a team tell me this, you know, because I was joking about being able to, you know, get over on Bill O'Brien on trade stuff. And they said, yeah, you know, it's funny until we have to try to make trades and other teams try to use this against you in bargaining. And you have to almost acknowledge, there has to be a public acknowledgement, like, come on, you know Bill O'Brien, this isn't the right deal. This is not. And he said, I'm not even talking contracts. It's just what a team gets in trade. For example, when Bill O'Brien gave up two firsts and a second for Laremy Tunsil, and then Kenny Stills, who everyone says Kenny Stills is, even though supposedly the story I was told is he gave up a second for Kenny Stills, that's the most egregious of all. That's more egregious than two firsts for Laremy Tunsil. A second for a third wide receiver? That's preposterous.
Well, no, that's the same as a number one wide receiver. You get a second for him.
Yeah, actually. So, but their point is, when that happens, it now sets, he said, that's a new precedent for a trade contract. So when, if you were trying to trade for a player who is a good player, they say, okay, well, Tunsil went for this, and this player is better than Tunsil, so we want this. He said, that's what happens. He said, you don't just reset. You're not just resetting, because that's what Khalil Mack kind of reset the market on what you're looking for. He said, you don't just reset it from a number standpoint in contracts. You reset it every time you make a trade, is it could potentially set a precedence, a new precedence. And same thing with, you know, getting a third for Clowney, getting a second for, although I asked, I said, oh, so you think the second rounder for, that's going to be an issue when you're trying to move a wide receiver? He goes, no. He goes, no one's paying attention to that Hopkins deal. That deal is irrelevant. Everyone knows that was not a good deal. I mean, I'm telling you, no. League, like the Texans don't, they honestly don't know what a joke their offseason has been. They honestly don't. Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby really believe that they're putting in serious work and they're getting players and they don't want to hear anything contrary. They don't even want to have that discussion or you get jumped on. That's not even up for discussion. I'm telling you right now, people around the league think that they are just terrible. I don't even think they know how teams think, how bad they are at their jobs right now from a personnel, not coaching, a personnel standpoint. There is no, they should never, ever, they should have sucked up their pride and kept Chris Olsen and had a voice of reason who had some level of power that they would, even if it's not power, some level of
authority.
Well,
there's got to be a check and a balance, and there aren't any.
Yeah, some level of authority, some level of respectability and experience on there to say, this is not how we do things. This is not good. And you got to be okay with that. You got to be okay with somebody saying that. And then even if you don't take their, you can't eliminate all voices that you think are not going to get in line with you. You can't do that.
No.
As an organization. You got to have some friction and you got to be able to talk about things.
No, there's no, it's a group thing.
Texans have cancel culture.
It's a group thing.
Are Texans cancel culture?
Yeah. If you don't agree, you're canceled.
Brian Gain, you're canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Olsen, you're canceled. Who else worked for Rick Smith? These secretaries?
Amber.
Canceled.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Beat it. You don't, uh-uh. You, uh-uh. Beat it. We ain't having you around here anymore.
Walmart just went down and said, okay, you must wear masks when you shop here. Here come a new batch of videos.
It's gonna Will make- anyone get shot now? Because there was a Walmart worker that got shot, remember? In Arizona, I want to say?
No, there was a customer stabbed another customer about masks.
Well, no, but there was a Walmart worker that came, the guy came back and shot him.
Yes.
In Arizona.
Yeah, there was a shooting over a mask.
Yeah.
Because, well, you know.
Because they're taking away rights.
Yeah, if there's a reason to get shot.
So you should spend the rest of your life in prison because you shot someone. Because they took away your, you want to talk about taking away rights. Prison does that. I think prison is the ultimate right taker away.
If you're concerned about your freedom and your rights,
pull a gun on someone and shoot them and see how prison treats you.
Yeah.
And by the way, prison, well, you know, in prisons, they don't have masks for you, so you don't have to wear a mask there. You might be exposed to COVID, but you don't have to wear a mask.
No. Oh, in prisons? I think COVID's running
wild.
Running all over, isn't it?
So if you are looking...
It's running the prison.
So hey, everybody out there, if you're looking for a place where you don't have to wear a mask and you're free to, and you're open to the elements, go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
There's a free place for you right there. Maskless.
Just go get some. Go ahead. Go shoot somebody.
Well...
No, whoa. Your Honor. Your Honor. Words hurt. I don't even know how to object. I don't know what objection I... Honor, dangerous commentary. See, that's not really a... I don't know if that's one of the objections.
Are you his lawyer or the opposing lawyer?
I'm both and judge.
Okay.
Because most lawyers don't smack the gavel.
No, that's the judge.
That's a judge to get order, but we kind of changed the game up a little bit. By the way, you have... Did you... So we're going to have on our podcast, we're going to have Andrew Perloff from the Dan Patrick Show on the podcast with me and Eric. We're going to tape it today. Bun B is out right now. I think you guys would. Bun was phenomenal. He talked about his. So Bun talked about his. I really think he's going to run for mayor at some point.
Yeah.
I really do. On the podcast, he talked about his, how punk rock was a big influence for him growing up. He talked about Dead Kennedys, his friendship with Travis Barker, and he talked about Black Flag, and we got into the early 80s, like all the documentaries. I know you've seen some of these docs too, Dell. The New York scene where it was with Basquiat and Warhol, Madonna, Blondie, Fab Five Freddy, all those, like the New York scene in the early 80s. We were talking about what time frame would be cool to teleport back to transport back to, and we talked about that. He talked a little bit about sneaker stuff and how there's a guy who's an influencer named Brad Hall, who's like the big guy in the sneaker game. And if you saw him, just Google Brad Hall sneaker. Go look and you'll say, huh, I was not expecting this guy to have all the juice in the sneaker game. He said on one video, he and his kids all have on sweater vests and they're talking about Jordans or Yeezys or something like that. I said, this is the guy who is in. He goes, oh yeah, this guy has a lot of juice. We talked about movies and, you know, how Questlove from The Roots is his guy that they talk movies all the time. They're both big movie heads. Like, Bun really gets into movies. I'm into movies. I thought I was into movies, like, hardcore. I used to watch every Oscar-nominated movie. Bun's been doing that, and he has all the Criterion collection. Like, Bun is out of this world on movie stuff. He and Eric have to talk about movies because it's even past me. But he was telling me, Peaky Blinders, he loves Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders is great. Yeah. Once you put the subtitles up.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to.
And I've noticed that subtitles make you lazy.
Yeah.
Like, so my mother-in-law is kind of deaf in one ear, and so she has subtitles on for her Bonanza, and, well, really for all the shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put subtitles up for two, for Normal, is it called Normal People, Dell? Normal People.
Yes.
I put subtitles up for... what was the other one? Well, not Peaky Blinders, but there was another one I just watched where I had to have... Oh, Marcella. I had to have subtitles on Marcella because it's a pretty thick Irish accent. Pretty thick Irish accent.
Well, that and what we just watched, the Cartel. Zero, zero, zero. You had to have.
Well, yeah, but that's because they're speaking different languages.
Well, but they put that up for you, but you, even still, you had to have
it. Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
But I've noticed once you have it up, it really does make it easy to watch. Like,
yeah.
You start to rely on it too much, and I'm reading literally everything that comes out instead of watching the shows.
Yeah.
I have to force myself to turn them off because it is an easy little crutch.
I do it all the time.
Turn it on.
I read it all. I read every movie now.
Do you really?
Yeah.
And you can hear it fine.
Yeah.
You just don't want to have.
You don't
want to
miss.
Think.
I don't want to miss.
You just don't want to have to think.
Right.
Would you have done it for Sopranos?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You kind of have to.
Yeah. You have to. I mean,
that was
to.
The first one that I remember thinking, man. I used to have to search back on my TiVo, like, what did he say? And then I realized, oh, that's just an Italian. That's gabagol.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is gabagol? I don't understand. Search back TiVo. Bloop.
Capicola.
Yeah. Oh, capicola's gabagol?
Yeah.
What?
Gabagol. What's wrong with you?
Where's that translation chart?
You don't know nothing.
You don't know nothing. Hey, this Monday at 7 o'clock, I'm going to have Matt Wells on a virtual, just to sit down with him at 7 p.m. on Monday. Go to touchdownclub.org. And then next...
Oh, Texas Tech Coach.
Texas Tech Coach.
He's good.
And then And then next Thursday at noon, Tom Herman. So you Longhorn fans will be, I'll have a sit down with him.
Ask him how the pee for the players are.
I'm not going to ask him about pee.
No.
I'm not going to ask him about urine.
You can ask him. You can ask him.
He wasn't at Bobby Hebert's house.
No, but he's a big guy in the urine community.
That's yesterday's show.
Yeah, you just can't drop that out of there different. Out of context.
Yesterday's show is very different.
What do you mean, Lance?
Today's show is kind of just a sports show.
You hover above, rain hell below.
This is
killing them hogs real nice and slow.
He's just going to keep playing
Songs of the South.
Get that new Lance Erline EP, Songs of the South, Venmo me. I'm not just going to give out my Venmo. If you want that EP, just let me know. $10.
Dale's trying to make a little on the side.
If you want that EP.
Pay that money, man, his money.
Just DM me. I'll get you that EP.
Pay that man his money. 945 ESPN 97.5 and get your testosterone.
Men's T Clinic has testosterone treatments for you. And look, there's other places that have testosterone treatment, but there's a reason that a lot of people who have gone to a location and not had success at another business, they end up at Men's T Clinic. And it's really simple. Men's T Clinic is so precise. From the minute you get in, they give you tests, they find it exactly where your numbers are, and then they start to fine tune and tailor a testosterone treatment that gets your levels back to where they should be, to where you get maximum benefits, not too much and not too little. And sometimes they'll make adjustments. They made adjustments for me in the past where they get the numbers just to where it's perfect for you. They have different ways to monitor you. Like they'll monitor you every quarter and find out where different numbers are to see if they need to make a change and check on your overall health. The benefits are so substantial. Energy boost is almost immediate. 2 to 3 months it takes for you to start to see, usually 2 months, to see a change in your body type where you start to see less belly flab and more lean muscle mass. And if you're working out at the same time, it really elevates much more quickly. It can have a big impact and spike with your libido and just your overall feeling of wellness. I mean, it's such a huge difference of having your numbers where they're supposed to be. Menstclinic.com, 5 locations in Houston. You can find one of the locations nearest you by going to menstclinic.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, 949 ESPN 97.5. Michael Schwab's going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk about, he's been doing some research and putting out a lot of tweets about cheating in Major League Baseball, which is not new. Just for everybody involved, it's not new. You've known Michael for a little while now.
And yeah, he's been on Twitter. He's been a big, yeah.
Yeah. So he's making a name for himself with some looking into. And I, he tweeted out something this past weekend about the Yankees and a bad look for them. And that this whole thing, I'm just so pissed. Every time I see something, you know, that the 2015 Yankees, they found plenty of Carlos Beltran basically brought his cheating ways. If it wasn't for Carlos Beltran, now I don't know which was worse for the organization, because Carlos Beltran certainly was, he was a unifier for the locker room. He changed that locker room when he came over. He made the...
He's a baseball guy who was doing baseball things.
Yeah.
This is not new. Carlos Beltran and the Yankees found, I don't know who it first was, they used the video room dating back to 15.
Yeah.
Is exactly what the Astros are accused of.
And the
of.
Astros weren't doing any of that before Carlos Beltran. So no. If Carlos Beltran doesn't come here, the Astros would not have been implicated in any
really
of this.
This is really the most outrageous. This is one of the most egregious oversights of overlooking of another team's misdeeds just so you could have the convenience of pinning everything on one team that you already started with. That's really what it feels like. Instead of rooting out the entire problem, I can tell you this. Eric Layton, who I do my podcast with, who's been on here and hosted the show, and come on, we got to start getting Eric on a regular basis. He talked to somebody who was in the commissioner's office. They happen to be in the same place at the same time, just a couple of dads with their sons. And this guy's like, look, Yankees, Red Sox, Astros, and Dodgers are the four teams. He's like, Dodgers? He goes, we got stuff on them too. Like, you got stuff on them.
But it's not as egregious.
And it's also, they can't, you can have stuff, but you have to be able to prove it. Well, you need the smoking gun.
And here's the thing, too, is, oh, this is really cheating. No, really, stop. Really. It's really, really, really cheating because they did it better. You know, Carlos Beltran was just, he was basically in high school with the Yankees or college, and he was perfecting his cheating craft. He's like, oh, he got to the Astros, and he's like, but how about if, and he got with Alex Cora. All of a sudden, Facebook was born. Or, you know, oh, we discovered Coca-Cola. All of a sudden, they were like, wait a minute, how about we do it like this? Look what we've been doing for all these years, but we haven't really, it's not really perfected yet. Then you got two explorers get together. And Lewis and Clark all of a sudden got together. Oh, look what we discovered. We discovered how to really, really do it well. And that's what happened. But that, and then Alex Cora leaves, and he's not going to do it anymore, right? Of course he's not going to do it anymore. He didn't do it with the Red Sox. No, granted that they found that the Red Sox were cheating, but Alex Cora didn't know anything about it because, well, Alex Cora wouldn't do something like that. Okay, commissioner's office. We believe that.
This is just a baseball thing.
Baseball
teams cheat. And yeah, the Astros have. Look, the code breaker thing, like, that's not even illegal. Their code breaker content.
No. You can look at and do it and then bring it and say, this is what they're doing. But you can't use real time video. Okay. So the Astros did that. But they only perfected it because of Carlos Beltran. He brought the method to the madness. So who was worse? For the Astros organization, Carlos Beltran or Roberto Osuna? Because Roberto Osuna seems like that's the beginning of the PR downfall.
I mean, I hate to say it, but it's got to be Beltran because he ended up selling, although it was Mike Fiers who told, because this kind of stuff has been going on. Because I'm sure Beltran did this.
But if it wasn't
Yankees.
For Beltran, the Astros would have never had any of this game plan. They were all going along, and Beltran gets here and goes, what's wrong with you guys? You're not cheating like you could.
Well, they had Codebreaker, right?
Codebreaker started after Beltran was here, got here.
But Codebreaker is what they were using, and Beltran goes, what are y'all doing? Y'all can do it. You can use the replay room and then bang on the trash cans. Yeah. That was, I think that Codebreaker was even earlier, because that's why Carlos Beltran said, this is antiquated, even though it was fine-tuned with an algorithm. His whole thing was, use the replay room.
Yeah.
Use the replay room. That's what we do in New York with the Yankees. But somehow...
But because they didn't relay it as well. Because they only relayed it, apparently, allegedly, the Yankees only relayed it when there was a runner on second base.
And that's where people try to act like there's a difference. If you're using technology, it's cheating, period.
During the game, live technology.
This is the biggest problem with society today. And it obviously leaks into sports. There is no consistency. Yeah. People can't stand for one thing. They have to say, well, I believe in this, except when it involves my team, and then I no longer believe in that.
Right, right.
What? When did it become hard to just have a belief?
Well, no.
You're either for cheating.
Well, we believe that they cheated, but we believe the report, but we don't believe that they didn't cheat.
That's not cheating. He had a buzzer, Lance. That's part of baseball. Well, that's where the conspiracy theories come in.
How ironic! Beltran screwed us twice when he left to the Mets for not that much money. Oh yes, he did. No. Dream Shake, you're off on this.
Yeah,
you're way off. Drayton McClain's offer for $100 million to Beltran didn't come until after he had already signed with the Mets for $108 million. So there was no $100 million offer for Beltran. And on top of that, two New York teams, and not snitching out the Yankees, while the Astros players protected him. No, the Astros players did definitely protect him. They didn't want to take in the brunt of it. But the fact of the matter is that none of this would have happened if Carlos Beltran wasn't here. None of it. Because the Astros were just oblivious. to the and not using the replay room. And Beltran said, no, this is how we do it. What? Come on. Oh, and Alex Cora was right there in the middle of it, but not in Boston. He said when he won the World Series here and he got the managerial job in Boston, he said, "We're not doing that." But wait, yes, you are. You are doing that.
What, people can't change? He won it, felt dirty about it. I'm like, I'm not doing it anymore.
Mm. No, but he didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's the other guys.
But no, he didn't know anything about it.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't know. He wouldn't have allowed it if he knew.
Ooh. You think he wouldn't allow it?
Yeah, he was so...
When he was sitting next to AJ, who was allowing
it. He felt so dirty about his experience here that when he went to Boston...
Really?
Yeah.
And then he... Yeah.
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah. Mm. So when it happened in Boston, he was as shocked as anyone.
He didn't know any of it.
He was as shocked as anyone, John.
Mm.
Alex Cora, trustworthy. Thank you.
Alex Cora. Yeah, nothing says trustworthy like the name Alex Cora.
What does that mean? Alex Cora is a very trustworthy name.
No. Alex Cora, no. That name particular. Not the Cora name, the Alex Cora name.
Yeah, Joey Cora is fine.
Joey Cora is a great guy.
Yeah. I still remember Alex Cora crying in a glove because of Warren Morris. I still remember that. I came back from a soccer game and like it was in the ninth inning and the first pitch was like, oh, LSU just wins the World Series and Alex Cora is crying. Or was it? I was like, this isn't great for me.
This is not a great day.
Stupid Warren Morris.
Ah, Warren Morris, a hero. No, he's an American hero.
No, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
He's a college baseball hero.
He's an American hero. He's right up there.
With who? With, rank him.
Okay. firemen who save cats from trees.
Uh-huh.
Warren Morris, right there with them. Which is the top of the list.
Oh, he's at the top.
That's the top of the list.
Hey, guys, there's something we need to... My buddy Michael Bennett said, hey, guys, are y'all going to have one of those sweet listener appreciation parties where we gather like cattle in your hot offices? I think this year...
It's about that time.
I think there's a good chance that you will not be going
to... I'm pretty sure we're not going to have a...
Where we get the air conditioner as low as we can, and then we find out the building's just like, well, sorry, it's after 7. I should have thought about that. Oh, my God, it's so hot.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun time. It'd be funner if it wasn't so hot.
Let's have a COVID party here.
You want to have a COVID for everybody who's had COVID?
Well, then I can't be here.
No, me either.
But everyone who's had COVID can show
come up,
here and see if we can have a real test to see if you can catch it again.
Oh, don't worry. That already came out. They're like, yep, we know for sure now. 3 months, about the most. Most people, it's like 14% go beyond 3 months. Really? It's 3 months as all this keeps you safe?
9:59, done. Michael Schwab next. Don't go anywhere.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.